from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. It's a great day, and we have a great show for you today. I'm going to be joined here in a couple of minutes by Pro Football Focus's senior analyst, Mike Renner. You probably know him, probably from The Bachelor and a number of other things. Mike's got a unique perspective, and he did a great mock draft this week where he had an interesting scenario set up for the Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more about the cornerback class, one of the primary needs for this particular team in this particular offseason, coming up here in a few minutes. But we also got a little bit of news that we should address first. First and foremost, it looks like the plan for the offseason is starting to take some shape. And there was a conference call on Thursday that Brett Veach gave to the beat writers, et cetera, and had a chance to talk to a couple of them about what they thought about it, about his quotes. And it's been widely reported that his primary comment was that they're very excited to keep D Ford. Now, we've been talking about the franchise tag for a couple of weeks now, and you guys have heard us say that this is the most likely scenario, that they're going to tag him, keep him motivated, keep him on a short leash in terms of a one-year deal, and that franchise tag will definitely take care of it. And that seems to be exactly what they're going to do. Veach said they're excited to have him back. So he clearly fits into Steve Spagnuolo's plans for his new defense, the 4-3 under, but one that's still going to play a lot of nickel because of just the way that the NFL is set up these days. 11 personnel is clearly the most popular package. And 11 personnel, it really means that there's three wide receivers. There's one tight end, one running back. That's what 11 represents. There's been some confusion for some other people talking about it. I feel bad for some of the guys on YouTube that have to go over what those packages mean. But it's so popular. In fact, the Rams, I think it came in at 82% ran out of 11 personnel. And I plan on the Chiefs having to play the Rams next season. So clearly you're going to be playing some nickel and some dime. Probably still over half of the snaps. I doubt the base is anywhere near half of the snaps. Maybe 40%. Clearly because this team has been run on for so long that you have to be able to stop that, because I expect teams to come out with the attitude that their game plan in 2019, at least to begin the season, is going to be to run right at the Chiefs and see what this new defense, and in particular the interior defenders and linebackers, have to offer in trying to stop it, because it hasn't been something that we've seen lately. So, that said, in that particular setup, D4 is still going to have plenty of opportunity to play in the nickel, out wide, and do, honestly, what he does best. And I have a video coming out for this. Should be out Friday morning in particular. You'll see some of the things on film. Please check that out at RGR Football on YouTube. It's in the show notes here. And next week, Chris Clark from Chiefs Digest and Seth Kaiser over at The Athletic, the guys are going to be back with me. I just wanted to wrap this up because I got a chance to talk to Mike, and he's got some interesting insight. But this is kind of the first step forward in the offseason for the Kansas City Chiefs. And by getting Ford tagged away so that you understand where he is, it doesn't seem like it's going to be much of a battle to get him to sign it, because the player does have to agree to the franchise tag and actually sign it before he can come to camp, etc. Doesn't look like that's going to be a problem. Expect to have one of your key pass rushers available and ready, and that's going to be great for getting it done. You still got to hope that there's some possibility to add to that. And that's where things went a little bit interesting on Thursday with Brett Veach, because he didn't offer up any kind of positive vibes about getting anything changed with Justin Houston. And I think that's really one of the keys. Now that we have, I mean, nothing's 100%. Let me just say that, because I know people will come back and say, well, you said they were going to do it. And if something falls apart and they decide last minute not to tag D Ford, you know, I don't want everybody concerned about it. There is a possibility it doesn't happen, but it's clearly their intention now after what Brett Veach had to say today. So knowing that you're committing to somewhere around 14 to 17 in that range, I'm not sure if the number's been released yet. I don't have it if it has. But that's what the franchise tag is going to be for the pass rusher. And I think they're going to classify him as an outside linebacker, even though in this defense, he'll definitely be a defensive end, but we'll have to see. That said, that's a big number. And having $20+ million on the other side in Justin Houston's contract makes a lot of investment into one position group, even though it is one of the four premier groups in quarterback, pass rusher, left tackle, or tackle in general, and corner. So even though it's justified to have a lot of expense, that's a whole lot. We're talking close to $40 million. you know, pushing 20-22% of the overall cap in two players. That's a big chunk. So I'm looking for Justin Houston to try and, or get the team to try to get Justin Houston to take a restructure and a pay reduction. Otherwise, this may be coming down to that they've made their choice with this news about D Ford. We will see. And of course, we'll have instant reaction for you as soon as we do know anything. So keep it tuned here. I think we're going to keep things kind of short and sweet today. I'm going to take this break. We'll hit our sponsors. We'll come back with Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus, their senior analyst, and talk about his mock as well as the cornerback class. Are you looking to reach new customers? I could be mentioning your business right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors than on web pages or other forms of media. Our demographic is 98% males and offers more opportunities than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast today. Email us at lockedonchiefs@gmail.com. Well, I know you guys love hearing from him. It's been a while since Mike was able to join us, but Mike Renner, PFF senior analyst, he did something really interesting this week, and welcome back to the show, Mike.
Good to be back. Been a while now.
Yeah, right. I mean, since our last conversation was about just how impressive your pick of Jones was. So well done. And I hope that you're fortuitously foretelling what the Chiefs are looking at this season as well.
Yeah, hopefully I can get you guys one again. Hopefully I can, you know, get into my bag of tricks and find someone for you.
Well, I like it because you are thinking along the same lines I am. And I think clearly the quarterback's the position that the Chiefs, with a first round pick that should get them a couple of options. Your mock this week, I thought was really telling. And, could you give me a little bit, folks, if you haven't seen it, make sure you check it out on PFF. But Mike, you went with a corner that I really like out of LSU. And can you tell me why?
Well, I went with him, Greedy Williams, obviously LSU, redshirt sophomore. He's, extremely long, you know, 6'2". Long arms, athletic, a little stiff, not great in zone coverage, but I know I realize the Chiefs fired Bob Sutton. Going to be a new defensive scheme next year in Steve Spagnuolo, but I just think they have the personnel to play man coverage. I think that's what they've wanted to do, and I think that's what Andy Reid will want to do in the future. Greedy Williams, in my opinion, probably the best pure man corner in this draft, has the best press man skills. And realistically, I don't see him dropping all the way to where the Chiefs select down at 29, the bottom of the first round. So I had them trading up to do it.
And I noticed that. I want to ask you, I think that's probably likely. I agree with you. And I like the fact I feel like they're going to play a lot of man continually just because we know Spagnuolo is going to be aggressive. But did you just get to the point where you felt they had to get to 20, or do you really feel there's some kind of connection there with Pittsburgh in terms of the likelihood of a trade there?
It wasn't necessarily like they had to get to 20 more Pittsburgh because their positions that they're probably going to be targeting in this draft, whether it be linebacker or, you know, maybe even tight end, aren't really value positions where you need to stay at 20. You can trade down and still get a good one at both of those positions. So that's why I ended up having Pittsburgh be the partner. Not sure Pittsburgh will want to help out, you know, the rival in the, you know, AFC team right, competing for a championship, but we see it all the time. I don't think once you get past the top 10 that teams are really that concerned about it coming back to haunt them.
Sure, it's still plausible, whether it's likely or not. You know, it could happen. And I like the way you went, but there are other guys in this class at the corner position. And a couple of them, I think you had three first-rounders in this mock, right?
I had four, actually.
Oh, okay. Awarie, was that the last one?
So Byron Murphy, Washington, DeAndre Baker, Georgia, obviously Greedy LSU, and then, Amani Oruwariye, Penn State.
And if I look at the structure, clearly you're feeling like edge is going to be a top 10 kind of run, right? Whereas the corners might be mid-round, maybe even into the 20s?
Yeah, so I think there's a really strong group of edge defenders right at the top of this class, probably five or six, that'll go early, maybe even in the top half of the first round, all of them, because it's just that deep and that talented of a group. And after that, there's really just a lot of guys, not a lot of difference makers that could step in right away. So those guys will all go quick, I assume, because of that. Whereas cornerback, there isn't that one guy you can point to and say he's going to step in, you know, like Denzel Ward was, like Marshawn Lattimore, that you just know they were that good that, you know, check all the boxes. I don't think there's any guy like that, but I do feel like there's still a handful, like I did. I put four in the first round of the mock that can still step in and at least contribute, you know, be competent starters right away.
Now, I still see this as kind of a two-man race for depending on scheme. And tell me what your take on Murphy is and what you think he's going to be best at come the NFL.
He's exceptional in terms of his zone instincts and reading route combinations. So that's why I ended up having to go to the Buffalo Bills in my mock, because they play a ton of zone, ton of off coverage. That's where he excelled at. He's an undersized corner, and unlike Denzel Ward, he wasn't great in, you know, press man coverage, but great in man coverage, actually, whereas similar size to Ward, but he was a lot better when he could see the routes developing in front of him. Has the athleticism to, you know, turn and flip his hips and run down the field when it is the case, but is that incredible in reacting to those underneath routes, breaking up hitches, digs, slants, that sort of thing.
You know, the edge is another position that I think the Chiefs need to look at investing in once again. But I agree with you that I think that run's going to happen early. So if they get to the point where they can't do a mid-first round trade and get to 20 or 18 or somewhere around there, if they have to wait till their pick at 29, do you think – I feel kind of like Baker's going to be the next guy to play in a man scheme that's going to play some zone, or do you think there's going to be another guy creep in there?
Yes, I would agree with that. And I think Oruwariye has some man skill as well in terms of he's longer corner, probably not the athlete of Baker, but has the size to sort of make up for in press coverage.
That said, you don't want to put him in at nickel or anything like that. You're not going to see these reactions to the offensive explosion this seed to be to try and take outside corners and shove them inside, do you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it'd still be best with Fuller at the nickel position, if possible there. And if they can, I don't know what they're going to do with their plans with Steven Nelson, but you don't want to get both starting corners replaced here.
Yeah, that's a big, big move. Now, just to slide over for a second to the safety group, you know, really, in my estimation, the key to this, if you're going to get that corner, or particularly if you're not going to get the corner that you're looking for, is that safety is probably the number two need that I'd be looking at. And I particularly feel like they have to have a center field type free safety. And when you look at this particular draft class, who stands out to you to be able to be playing that competently?
Yeah, I think two guys are really true center fielders. I'm not sure either is, you know, like a Malik Hooker or, you know, like a surefire top 15 sort of guy. But Nazir Adderley out of Delaware, we obviously don't have grades on him because we don't grade FCS. But from what I've seen from him at the Senior Bowl, he is exceptional athlete in terms of getting sideline to sideline. I think he could creep into the end of the first round. And then Deontay Thompson out of Alabama, similar role in that Alabama scheme, center fielder who can make plays sideline to sideline. Probably not the athlete that Adderley is, but he makes up for it. Almost similar to probably HaHa Clinton Dix coming out, where he's not a fantastic athlete, but still can make plays on the ball. Clinton Dix would be, he's not exceptional, but he'd still be an upgrade probably for the Chiefs in that regard.
Now, I haven't watched a ton of film on him, but from what I've understood and what I have seen is he seemed like a pretty instinctive center fielder to begin this season, but he got it taken advantage of down late, didn't he?
Yeah, so he didn't know. That's what I said. None of these guys are. The safety class is fairly weak. No one's really a surefire, oh, you have to get this guy sort of player with, you know, checking all the boxes of like the guys in years past, Derwin James, Jamal Adams, just no one like that, where they're really a stud that you know they're going to step in right away. But I think those two have the best just feel for the center field position in terms of, you know, reading quarterback's eyes, the routes coming to you, that sort of thing. I think those two stood out in my mind.
Oh, well, that said, the last thing that I think might happen here for these Chiefs is that if they can't get one of the top corners that they actually grade out at the top two, they may just be looking at moving back. And if they're going to do that, a couple of guys, maybe the top half of the second round at the cornerback position. Where do you have Yasin, and who else do you think might sneak in there and play well in this scheme?
Yeah, we liked Rock Yasin a lot. You know, he went to the Senior Bowl and was not quite as good, but he's definitely a long corner, definitely has this sort of press man ability. It might be a little bit of a transition from him coming from Temple, but I still like what I've seen there. I also like Julian Love out of Notre Dame. He's played a lot of press coverage there at Notre Dame. He's not gonna be a first rounder because he's just not a fantastic athlete, but he's incredible in terms of making plays on the football. The past two seasons has been one of the NCAA leaders in forced incompletion. So at the catch point, he has great ball skills, which I don't have to tell Chiefs fans how important ball skills at the catch point are.
Right. You got to have the compliment to Chris Jones.
Yes.
So if it's up to you, do you see any priority that would put any reason for this particular team to do anything but look at corner and edge in the first round?
I could see linebacker. I could like off-ball linebacker just because I know Anthony Hitchens is, you know, in terms of salary-wise, you're stuck with him, but you're not necessarily stuck with keeping him on the field and, you know, his terrible play that we saw from him. You can still upgrade that position, and that would be, you know, a big help to the defense in terms of what that could bring to the table. So I don't think Devin White's falling all the way to there, but I think there might not be another linebacker come off the board until they're picking at the end of the first round. So someone like Mack Wilson or out of Alabama, Devin Bush out of Michigan, someone like that, or even if they do trade back, then that would even make more sense to go linebacker in that second round if you can get, you know, multiple second rounders or multiple day two picks out of it.
That's interesting. Do you still feel like in that position you're still looking for a coverage linebacker more than anything else, or do you think there's a reaction to what we saw with the run games from the Patriots and the Rams here to conclude the season?
I mean, it could help to have a blitzer as well. I think that's what we learn most about the Patriots run. One of my biggest takeaways was having a blitzing linebacker that can truly rush the passer like an edge and actually beat guards and, you know, be a weapon on stunts seems to have a ton of value. We saw that, you know, how effective the Patriots were with their stunt games against the Chiefs and with the Rams. Adding someone, I mean, Devin Bush fits that to a T in terms of the Michigan linebacker. He can rush the passer like an edge. He is extremely explosive at that second level. If you can add him to your pass rush, that's already one of the best pass rushes in the NFL. If they can keep everybody intact there, that just add another wrinkle that they can, you know, take advantage of there.
Yeah, and I think the more they can get, the better. Folks, make sure you check out his mock on PFF. Mike, thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
For sure, man. Thanks for having me.
And we'll be right back. We'll talk about the yin and the yang of these two position groups. We have a powerful new feed to tell you about. Check out Locked On NFL Net on Twitter. It is all the inside information from our hosts for all the Locked On shows for all of the NFL teams in one Twitter feed. That's LockedOnNFL.net on Twitter. Check that out today. Now, what I mean by yin and yang is that we started talking about the pass rushers. Particularly the edge guys that are, you have to keep paired, with Chris Jones. Big strength of this defense. Gotta try to keep that pressure on because the yang is that pressure will protect whatever you do in the secondary. And we have a lot to talk about in the secondary. That's coming next week and the following weeks. We're gonna go through a complete position review, so don't worry about that. But you figure you have Kendall Fuller. You have, Treverius Ward. There's two guys. Maybe you want to let Ward develop a little bit farther. And so you at least got to go out and get a CB1 because I don't think Fuller needs to play outside. There's going to be an argument to be made there, but I particularly feel that, he is best inside the slot. And so I can't call him anything more than CB2 because of that fact, but you need a shutdown single man corner. And if you like Ward a lot, you can really put a whole lot of effort into finding that one shutdown guy, whether it's free agency or the draft. I like what Mike did there with his mock, but it's clearly one of the positions. But there's a whole lot of other stuff that has to go into protecting those corners, too, and that's the safeties over the top. There's still decisions to be made there. We're going to talk about those next week, and honestly, probably for a little bit, because I think this decision for Ford was clearly the easiest one, and it sets up aiming at that cornerback number one to stick in this Spagnuolo defense as one of the higher priorities in the next coming couple of months in free agency and the draft. So that's where we leave it today. We're going to have Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus on next week. We're going to be talking all kinds of position reviews. If you didn't know it already, Seth Kaiser is one of our permanent hosts. He's a partner. We are a three-man team. And we're going to be with you all summer long. We'll have different perspectives from the three of us and as many guests as we can get through. We're going to continue to do that for you. So I hope that you keep it tuned here. Thank you for all of your reviews. Keep those coming. If you're a new listener in particular, hit iTunes and give us a review. Hopefully it's 5 stars, but otherwise give us some feedback too. We appreciate you taking the time. Have a great weekend and we'll talk to you next week.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.